Okay, we're in the middle of Perkov Ches, page 122 at the bottom, Lamed Hey on top, 14 lines from the bottom of the page. The Alter Rebbe is basically discussing antidepressants. And he's discussing, if you have this problem, don't be depressed because it's really good. If you get sadness and this, don't get depressed. I mean, if you get foreign thoughts in the middle of prayer and this and that, so don't worry about it. Look how good you are. God gave it to you that you can get rid of it. And then you reach a higher level than you were before. And don't worry about it. So he says like this. What happens, he's discussing like this. What happens if a person is in the middle of davening? They're praying, davening, and they're getting these foreign thoughts. He says, what you need to do, get rid of it. How do you get rid of it? So God gave us an interesting way of getting rid of a foreign thought. You can't think two things at the same time. Okay? When a foreign thought comes in, how do you get rid of it? By thinking a good thought. You think a good thought, automatically the evil thought has to leave. He says, don't be a fool, what we learned last week, don't be a fool to think you can elevate the foreign thoughts, because if you're such a not great person that you're getting foreign thoughts, he says, righteous people that don't get their own foreign thoughts, they're only affected by other people's foreign thoughts, they can elevate foreign thoughts. But you don't even think about doing it. Okay? So what do you got to do? Just get rid of it. How do you get rid of it? By thinking a good thought. He says like this. But seemingly, a person could become depressed that why am I getting these evil thoughts during prayer? Maybe that means that I'm not davening properly. He says, don't worry about it. On the contrary, the fact that you get the foreign thoughts means you're davening great. So what does this mean? He says, Ach alfal pi kein, nevertheless, al yipol libei bekirbei. Your heart should not fall within it, meaning get depressed. Liyesh misa otziv nivza, to be upset and sad. B'shas aved at the time of serving Hashem, shetzorach liyas b'simcha rabba, when you need to be happy. So he said, don't get depressed from it. Why? El adram, on the contrary. Yischazik yesa, you should strengthen yourself. V'yesef emes b'chol keichei, you should add strength with all your might. B'kavanis ha-tfile, in the intent of prayer. B'chedva v'simcha yaseiru, with an additional simcha. Meaning, if you get these foreign thoughts during prayer, don't get depressed from it. And he says, on the contrary, you should be happy that you're getting them. Why should you be happy that you're getting the foreign thoughts? Something like this. When you realize the falling in of the foreign thought comes from the evil of the left side of evil, that's fighting against this intermediary person, the intermediate person, the Beinoni, im nefesh ulekishabe, with his godly soul. I'm going to read it and then explain it. V'neiden, it's known, derech ha-nolchomim, people that fight. V'chein ha-navokim yachad, people that wrestle with each other. K'she'echad miskaber, when one gets strong, when one uses more power, as ha-sheini misamis v'gaber gam kim chomam tzikechet. Then the second side always gets stronger. So it's like this. There's a battle going on here in the body. There's a battle going on, like you said before in Tanya. There are two kings trying to get control of the city. What's the city? The body. There's two kings fighting for control. The godly soul is fighting for control, and so is the evil soul. Right, the nefesh of the kids, nefesh shabamis, yetzer tov, yetzer hara, any way you want to look at it. The bottom line is, there's a battle going on in this city. There's a body, the two kings want to control it. What do you mean two kings want to control it? So the Alter Rebbe explained before, when a king controls a city, it means that the people, the inhabitants of the city, listen to him. His rules, control. The other king wants, he wants to gain control of the city, that everybody should listen to him. Okay? So the Alter Rebbe says, the person's body, meaning thought, speech, and action, 10 powers of the soul, intellect, and emotions, are being fought in this person's body. The godly soul wants the person to be completely controlled by godliness. The evil soul wants the person to be controlled completely by evil. Okay? There's a constant battle that we all have between good and bad. Right? If there wouldn't be a battle between good and bad, then good wouldn't be good and bad wouldn't be bad. Right? If you're only programmed to do good, and you do good, so good is worthless. Because what else could you do? Right? You can only do good and you do good. It's called an angel. Angels don't get rewarded for being good because they're programmed to do good. They don't have an evil inclination. They don't have evil. So of course they're not going to do bad. So they're only going to do good, so it's worthless. Hashem, God gave us a way that we have good and bad. Okay? So there's this fight going on. When a person is not davening, when a person is not learning, he's not davening, so then the godly soul is not acting strong. If the godly soul is not acting strong, why should the evil side get strong? It's a waste of energy. When the godly soul is strong, i.e., time of davening and learning, that the godly soul is working now on the body to get it engulfed in love and fear of God. So that's when the Yetzer Hara, the evil, also wakes up much stronger. So the Alter Rebbe says like this, if we would have only one soul, and that one soul does good and bad, then, if you're getting the foreign thoughts, it shows you're not davening well. That means evil is victorious. But the truth is, we have two souls. One's good and one's bad. If the good is not powerful, evil's not powerful. When the good is powerful, the evil becomes powerful. So the Alter Rebbe is saying like this, you should be happy when you get these foreign thoughts during davening. Because you know what it shows? That you're davening properly. Because if you wouldn't be davening properly, why should the evil forces get strong to dump evil thoughts into your head? He said, don't get depressed, be happy.
Does evil thoughts mean evil, like evil, or does it also mean like...
foreign.
Like thinking about going around and things like that.
It depends if Ralph's is cheaper than the other stores or not. Depends which store is cheaper.
I'm saying, does it mean also just thinking about things you shouldn't just, whatever?
There are different levels. Okay? There are forbidden thoughts. Right? There are neutral thoughts. There are foreign thoughts. And then there's good thoughts. Okay? If somebody is supposed to be davening, yeah? And they're supposed to be concentrating on their prayer. And instead, they think about the Rambam they learned. Not about Ralph's. They're thinking about the Gemara they studied, the Rambam they learned, or whatever. Okay? Is that a bad thought? Is it foreign? Mm-hmm. It's a foreign thought. Because you know what? Now, that's not what you're supposed to be thinking about. Now, you're supposed to think about prayer. What you're saying. Not about what the Rambam says. Right? You can have a holy thought in the wrong time. It's called a foreign thought. Okay? If you notice over here, he's speaking about Machshava Zara. Literally does not mean an evil thought. Machshava Zara literally means a foreign thought. If in the middle of davening, you think about Ralph's, that's a foreign thought, and it's not even a holy thought. Okay? If you think about forbidden thoughts, that's obviously worse. What Chassidus explains is, even if you think a good thought, but it's foreign to what you're doing now, right? God doesn't want that now. There's a time and place for everything, right? That's bad. That's foreign thoughts.
And what's a neutral thought versus a foreign thought?
You can have a neutral thought. Going to Ralph's is not bad. Thinking forbidden thoughts about killing somebody, That's depends who the person is, by the way. Some of them maybe it's good, but that would be an evil thought.
Would you say anything?
For that matter, how does in Torah language, how do you call idol worshiping? Avodah Zara, right? What does Avodah Zara mean?
Strange worship.
Right. Foreign worship. Idol worshiping literally should be Avodas Alilim. Alilim means gods, you know, idols. Avodah Zara means, Chassidus explains, it's a remarkable concept. Avodah Zara means it's foreign. In the literal sense, it means idol worshiping, right? But in a deeper sense, it's somebody is supposed to be learning, right? And instead, they decide to go out in the street and put tefillin on with people. At that moment, okay, that should be the worst sin they do, right? But in that moment, putting on tefillin is avodah zarah. It's a foreign worship. Right now, Torah says you need to learn. Right? Right now, Torah says you need to learn. To go putting on tefillin something is very holy. But right now, it's foreign. It's not proper. It's no good. Understand? So, Avodah Zarah Chassidus explains to me, anything which is foreign to a Jew is called Avodah Zarah. Now, Avodah Zarah can mean bowing down to an idol that's foreign to a Jew. Avodah Zarah, in a more refined level, can mean just doing something neutral, but that's not what you should be doing. It's not the Jewish thing to do. Right? And then you can have various different levels. Like you said, putting tefillin on with people, which is very holy, but right now you're supposed to be learning and not doing that. Right? The Rebbe writes in our Yom Yom, the Yetzirah is very smart. And he said, and the Rebbe writes over there, that he never knew you could even have a Chassidish Yetzirah. Okay? He gives to paraphrase it, okay? But it's really in a Yom Yom. Right now, come 9:30, let's say, you have to daven. 9:30 now. Yeah? Let's say 9:30, you have to daven. Instead, a guy comes to shul, says, oh, you know what? I'm going to learn a maimer first. I'm going to learn a little bit of chassidus first. The Rebbe in a Yom Yom says, that's coming from the Yetzirah. You know why? Because at 8:30 you didn't say, let's go learn a maimer. Right? 9:30, you got to daven. Now's the avodah of davening. It's the time to daven. So what does the Yetzirah come? Yetzirah doesn't come and say, go read a comic book. He say, no, come on, I have to daven. So what does the Yetzirah do? Go do something else holy. The problem is, right now, that's not what you're supposed to be doing.
My only question with that is, isn't it kind of like urgent that we help people put tefillin on? Like,
One second. If somebody's learning, somebody's drowning, you're supposed to stop learning or let them drown?
Obviously
what?
Help them.
Okay. You know, the Gemara in Saita says there's a concept called a chassid shaita, a retarded chassid. That's what it means. The Gemara gives an analogy. The Gemara says, what's an analogy of a chassid shaita? He sees a woman drowning. He says, oh, it's a woman, I can't touch her, I can't save her, let her drown. Okay, I mean, it's a very holy man, but he's an idiot, right? Okay, or a guy's wearing tefillin, says, I don't want to jump into safe, so I'm going to ruin my tefillin. Okay, there is there's a fire burning, people are drowning, okay? But sometimes, Torah says, yes, but you can't do that a whole day. Should somebody do that a whole day instead of davening and learning? They're not allowed to do it. Correct? Right? So there's a time for that, there's a time for that. Somebody once came into the Rebbe, and he was upstairs in the yeshiva, and the guys weren't learning that much. It happens. Guys weren't learning that much. So he went into the Rebbe that night. He was like a rabbi, you know, prominent rabbi. came to the Rebbe and said, you know, Rabbi, I was just in the yeshiva and they weren't overlearning. So the Rebbe said to him, since the Rebbe protected everybody and always found the good in everything. So the Rebbe said to them, today it's a little bit different, but said, if you'd walk into a fire station, yeah, what are the firemen doing there during the day? They're playing cards, they're talking, whatever, you know. So somebody might think, what do these guys do a whole day? What a life they have. You know, they have a life of Riley, like whatever, leisure. But the Rebbe explained, the bottom line is, when there's a call to duty, these guys risk their lives in the front to help somebody else. The Rebbe said, maybe the Bochum are not learning now too much. But when it comes to save a life, these are the guys who are going to be in the front. Okay? So don't complain about the fire people, you know, that they don't do anything a whole day. Because when push comes to shove, they're the ones that are running in the front to risk their lives to save people. But there's a time for everything. All the Alter Rebbe is saying over here is like this. Again, these chapters are antidepressant medicine. The Alter Rebbe is saying, if a person gets foreign thoughts during davening, don't become depressed from it. Because all it's showing you, by the way, is that you're davening properly. Because if you wouldn't be davening properly, if the godly soul wouldn't be strong, why in the world would the animal soul, the evil soul, want to strengthen itself up to go fight against you? So he says, what do you got to do? Let's get rid of it. And he says, V'lachain, okay, 6 cents on the bottom of the page. V'lachain, k'shenefesh olekis, misametes umisgabetes lispalo. Therefore, when the godly soul strengthens itself to become stronger, so then the evil side gets stronger to confuse you. And to fall, to knock you down by this foreign thought. And he says like this, it's not like the people make a mistake. That they make a mistake, to prove. The fact that evil thoughts or foreign thoughts enter the person, in their mind, it means shein tefilasim kum, that they're not davening properly. He says shein mispalu kuroi v'nochem, that they're not praying properly. He says she'ilu mispalu kuroi v'nochem, because if the person would be praying properly, they wouldn't get these foreign thoughts. That's simple logic. The Alter Rebbe says it's wrong though. Would only be right if they would only have one soul, he ames palelis, which prays, and that's what thinks the foreign thoughts, then they would be right. Because if you're thinking foreign thoughts, that means the good thoughts are not there. Right? He says, but the truth is, heimstein nefashis nucham izu imzu. There are two souls fighting with each other, b'meicha shel adam, in the brain of the person. Kol echad chavtze v'ritzena, each one's desire and will is limshubay, to control the body. V'liyeis ha'meach m'mula mimena levada, to be completely full of it, of that particular thing. So he says, v'chol heruri teira v'yiru shamayim minefesh olekis. All the godly thoughts, the good thoughts, come from the godly soul. V'chol mili da'alma, all the worldly things come from the animal soul, that the godly soul is dressed into it. He said, therefore, it's not a problem that you have these foreign thoughts. And he gives an analogy. If a person is, he says now, if a person is davening, and there's a goy, an idol worshiper, standing opposite you to disturb your prayer. So what would you do? Give in to them? No. What would you think? Why did God put this goy to disturb my davening? It's a test that I should daven better. That's why God did it. And he says, okay, what Lunin said, and I'll talk about it a little bit. It's like a person praying properly. Ve'emed l'negdei evdi gululim rasha. And that this idol worshiper is standing against him. U'masiach u'medaber imein is hacking him, a chinek, you know, talking and disturbing him. Levalvulay, to disturb his davening. He says, what's the etzah? Shazeitz at sasi bevadei. Shle lahashiv le mitev adra. To ignore him, not to answer him. V'lazis atzme kecheresh, and to make himself deaf, like a deaf person. Le yishme, that doesn't hear. In other words, not to answer the fool. He says, that's the same thing over here. In other places in Chassidus, later on in Tanya, the Alter Rebbe says a phenomenal, phenomenal concept. He speaks about this concept of somebody disturbing your davening. Yeah? If you think about it, this idol worshiper is disturbing your davening. Right? Who gave him the power to disturb you? Hashem. Without Hashem, he couldn't talk, he couldn't move, he couldn't do anything. Right? God, at this moment, is giving this disturber, okay, the ability to disturb me. Now, if you think for a second, why should God, who wants me to daven, lower himself to this evil person that's disturbing my davening? Why should God lower his power into this evil person to give him the ability to disturb my davening? Dr. Rebbe says only for one reason. Because Hashem wants me to daven better, and therefore he's making disturbances, that I should overcome the disturbances, and by overcoming the disturbances I will daven better. So Hashem made all this that I should daven better. But God didn't do it that I should daven worse. Hashem gave me the challenge that I should be able to do better. And b'chlal, a person has to know, in life, any challenge, any difficulty, any blockage, any disturbance, God is making that disturbance for one reason. That you should overcome the challenge and reach a level that you wouldn't have been able to reach if you didn't have the challenge. That's the only reason why Hashem does it. He said the same thing is within the person himself. If a person is trying to daven, and the evil inclination is disturbing your davening, there's only one reason for it. Think, why would Hashem, who wants me to daven properly, allow my evil inclination to disturb me? Why would Hashem allow it? And there's only one reason. Because that's the only way I can overcome the challenge and reach a level of closeness with Hashem through davening that I would have never, ever been able to reach if I didn't have the challenge. And that's why it was worth for Hashem to lower himself into something that's disturbing me, which is a descent for Hashem, to lower himself into evil, to give evil that power to disturb me. For one reason, I should daven better. If you think about it, in life, any challenge, any difficulty, any problem, that's exactly what's going on. Hashem is giving me the challenge, Hashem is giving me the problem, Hashem is giving me the difficulty, for one reason and one reason only. Because I could overcome the difficulty. Like we learned, the fact that Hashem gave me the difficulty means I could overcome it, because if not, it would be foolish for Hashem to give me something that I can't do. And only by overcoming the challenge and the difficulty can I reach a level that I couldn't have reached otherwise.
Can you overcome it forever? This one particular challenge that you're trying to overcome, can you overcome it forever?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. But every time you have the same challenge, and you overcome the challenge, you reach a level that you couldn't have reached before. In other words, every time you can have the same challenge, but if you have the same challenge 10 times, every time you go higher than you were before. But challenges end when we die. That's when... Oh, whichever one comes first. 10,000 miles in 12 months, whichever one comes first. I mean, yeah, Mashiach comes, the challenges are over, because then we accomplish the mission. But until a person... We have challenges. By the way, even when Mashiach comes, there'll be different challenges. There'll be challenges between good and better. Not challenges between good and bad. Right now, we're in the world of challenges between good and bad. Mashiach comes, if we have challenges, it'll be between good and better.
If we have challenges?
If whatever, I don't know if we have challenges, Mashiach comes, we'll find out. Officially, the Aveda is over. So, it's not necessarily that we'll need challenges then. But I'm saying even if there will be, it will only be between good and better. Not between good and bad.
When you say Avoda, you mean
Avoda-like
challenges versus Avoda-like service to Hashem?
What does Avoda mean?
Well, to me it means service to Hashem.
What's the root of Aveda?
Slave.
Slave. If you do something, it's not called slaving. You know, you have people, it's a woman's class. You know, you ever hear the expression, they slaved in the kitchen a whole day? You ever hear that? Okay. If somebody enjoys cooking, are they going to say on themselves, I slaved in the kitchen a whole day? No. Because they enjoy it. It's not slavery. Avaida literally means, when you say you're a slave... It means when you really don't enjoy it, and you have to break yourself and force yourself to do it. Right? But that's, again, a much higher level. Who's better? Somebody that doesn't want to serve God and serves God, or one who enjoys serving God and serves God. Who's better? Obviously, if you don't want to do it and you do it, you're much higher, because you're breaking yourself more. There's more nullification, there's more subjugation, there's more, you know, nothingness.
So when Mashiach comes, will we be transforming that night? Or is it that left for Tzadikim to do?
Mashiach comes transformed.
Excuse me?
When Mashiach comes, Hashem removes evil from the world and soul transformed.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, anyway...